Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Welcome to the table, ladies. I'm so glad you could join us today. My name is Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, today we are talking about something that is very interesting for the times we're in. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. What does it mean exactly? And as we take a look at it, ladies, we can tell very strongly how much Jesus wanted us to be prepared. Prepared for what exactly? Well, we're going to take you to Scripture today and talk about that.
You know, it's pretty obvious when you look at the story that the groom who the 10 virgins are awaiting, that's clearly Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the bridegroom of the church. The 5 virgins who have the extra oil, they represent those who are truly born again. And the 5 virgins without the oil, they represent false believers who enjoy the benefits of that Christian community, the fellowship. They probably know the Bible, but they don't have true love for Christ. And this kind of reminds me of the passage we were talking about yesterday as far as when he comes and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats.
Yeah.
Or what we were talking about the other day when he says in Matthew 7, you know, get away from me, you evildoers, you know, those who said, but Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we healed in your name, we did all this stuff for you. And he's going to say, get away from me, you evildoers, you lawlessness, I never knew you. And that's just that there are many professors of Christ, many who claim to be Christians these days, but they don't really know God, they don't really know Jesus, they do not have the Holy Spirit in them. They are not regenerate or transformed, and they are doing much destruction out there right now in many issues we've been facing.
They have, Nancy, and with that background, as you think about it in that context, ladies, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. It's just 13 verses. I'm going to read them, and then we'll see if we can kind of recognize what Nancy was just talking about in these verses. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet their bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, this is Jesus telling his people this is what the kingdom is going to be like.
Just to give you a little historical background here on this, when you had the bridegroom who had finally prepared the place for his bride by building that apartment onto his father's house, he would come with close friends, leaving his home and going to the bride's home. They do a few ceremonies there, but then there would be this massive procession through the streets after nightfall to his home. And the bridegrooms would be those who maybe were assisting the bride. They would be the ones expecting the bridesmaids, I'm sorry, the ones assisting the bride, mm-hmm. and they were the ones expected to meet the groom when he came to the bride's house. And then everyone in the procession was supposed to carry their own lamp or torch. If they did not have a lamp or a torch, they would be assumed to be party crashers. Maybe even robbers. And so they would definitely be driven away.
You know, and that makes a lot of sense, because that's when Jesus, and by the way, Jesus closes the door, and he says, I don't know you. You know, so he's telling us if we're not his children, that we're basically party crashers.
Yes. It's interesting. I love looking at the commentaries of Matthew Henry, and he actually wrote these in the early 1700s.
Yeah.
So it's that long ago, so the language is a little bit, you know, convoluted for our ears, but try to listen to what he's saying there. As Christians, we profess to attend upon Christ, to honor him, also to be waiting for his coming. Those who are truly wise or foolish that are so in the affairs of their soul. So it determines about what's in your heart. He says, many have a lamp of profession in their hands, but have not in their hearts sound knowledge and settled resolution. That's our oil, which are needed to carry them through the services and trials of this present state. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, we certainly have some trials in our present state right now.
We do. And how do we prepare? How do we get ready? Well, you can't be stealing someone else's oil. They can't give you theirs. We have to, you know, when we stand before God, we don't have that favorite Bible study teacher. We don't have anyone from Naomi's table standing with you. Nobody. It's not going to be your pastor. It's going to be you and God, and you need to have your own oil. You need to have prepared. How do you prepare, Nancy? The best way I can think of to advise people to prepare is hide that word of God in your heart. That is your oil, is his breathed out word into your heart. And also be in prayer. Have that beautiful fellowship with Jesus Christ that you can only get through those two things.
That's right. You have to have that grace stored up in your heart and letting it flow through you to others. And that is that grace of your own. You know, it's amazing. But the outward profession, and this is again Matthew Henry talking about this, the outward profession, that's just so you know what that means. That means I'm a Christian. Maybe you even said a sinner's prayer. Maybe you went forward and were baptized. Maybe you went through catechism and were confirmed and were baptized as an infant. That outward profession, saying I'm a Christian, that may light a man along this world, but when you enter into what Matthew Henry calls the damps of the valley of the shadow of death, it's going to put out such a light.
Mm, yeah.
So you might have enough oil to light you until you come into those trials, into the true persecutions against a Christian, into the realm of being hated by the world.
Mm.
And then you may say, oh, wait a minute. Well, I can still be a Christian and love others, because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's truly loving others. So you go along with the world. You go along with the opinions of the world instead of being obedient to Christ and his word.
Yeah, the problem with that, Nancy, is that's not really love, at least not the love that the Bible describes as true love. And Jesus talked so much about that. In fact, we're going to be talking about that in our Bible study today as well, about that love. We've been doing that all along in 1 John. And here's the thing. When we try to be like the world, that's exactly opposite of what Scripture tells us to do. We're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be that light for him, his light shining through us. And so that's the thing. The Lord said that we would be hated on account of him. Now, that doesn't mean that you can get away with snarky behavior or being obnoxious or anything like that. We are to have that spirit of humility when we're talking with other people. But the gospel message itself is very offensive, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier about how people think they're showing love, but they're really not. You're actually loving them into hell. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to love them into hell? We show love by saying, oh, you know what? I was one of you. I was in prison in sexual sin and depravity. And you know what? I got even more and more and more depraved, and yet it would never satisfy my flesh.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I found that saving grace of Jesus Christ that washed me clean of all of those sins and set me free from its bondage, so I'm no longer a prisoner to it, that I finally found peace. I finally found joy. I finally found freedom. That's true love.
Yeah. And you know, Nancy, the parable of the 10 virgins always reminds me of those who say, you know, I don't need God right now, but someday when I have kids or someday when the kids graduate high school, you know, we'll be ready then to get into a church.
You know, it's very important to note that the door was shut. When you look at this parable, the door was shut. And Matthew Henry, again, he points out, many will seek admission into heaven when it is too late.
Oh, we don't want that. No, ladies, let's make sure that we are preparing our hearts now, being in his word, being in prayer, and may we never be shut out, and may we have that same love for others who right now are perishing. I know it's a bold, strong warning. It needs to be said. And right now, what we need to do is open up our Bibles to 1 John. If you're following along, another test is in store, and today, Lori Williams has the lesson right now.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Okay, ladies, for today's lesson, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I have entitled this is our 13th test. I have entitled it, Are You an Overcomer? So let's read the verses here and let's see what we're going to get into with this test. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I've tacked on that last little portion there of verse 5, just because it has the word overcome in it, and we're going to be talking about that in our test today, but we will pick back up on verse 5 in our next lesson, of lesson 18, so we'll touch on that here, but it will show up again in the next lesson. So in this test, what we're looking at is, are we an overcomer? Now, let me break that down a little bit, because so many of our biblical phrases and concepts have been hijacked by the modern day downgrade of the seeker movement and the word of faith heretical teachings. How many of us have heard, you are a victor, not a victim. You are victorious. You are an overcomer. Okay. We hear that a lot, and we hear that a lot from very ego-centered Word of Faith teachers, because they take this phrase, overcomer, and they distort it. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we get into this test. The self-esteem movement has infiltrated our society with this ideology of, you are an overcomer, and they relate that to secular victory in the lives of all people. However, John tells us in these verses that those who are born of God are the real overcomers. Saving faith is what is going to help you overcome every snare in this world. And I just want to stop there, because being a real overcomer is not about gaining victory over the strongholds in your life on your own. The qualifier there is that you are of Christ. That's what makes us overcomers. That is the people that are born of God. Those are the real overcomers, because we have Christ in us that helps us to have the ability to even attempt trying to overcome things. Isn't that a far cry different than what we see in the world of secular psychology and all of these Word of Faith teachings, where it's all about you, it's just all about you, and you are the victor, and you. It has nothing about Christ in you making you an overcomer. Big difference there, big difference. And Jesus used this word when he said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. So this is talking about a victory but a victory of all things. Christ has defeated all sin, all enemies. He reigns supreme. That is the kind of victory that we have in Christ. We are overcomers because we are Christ followers. We don't use this phrase to demonstrate shallow faith, but rather we use this word overcomer to show who we belong to, and because of that profession, we are overcomers. So again, it all works hand in hand. We are overcomers because we are believers in Christ Jesus, and he has redeemed us. He has saved us from our sin. Because of our faith and our trust in him, that is what makes us an overcomer, being born again. The word overcomer in the Greek means to conquer, to have victory, superiority, or conquering power. How trite to use that word and relate it to anything that we alone could do. We can't have a conquering power in our own strength, but in Christ we can. In Christ we can. That's why believers are overcomers. In verse 3, I love this, when he says, his commandments are not burdensome. I want to just actually read it, how he phrases this. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And we know in the Bible, it also tells us that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So all of that goes hand in hand there again. His commandments are not going to be burdensome. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I don't want to be a Christian because it's just too hard. You guys have all those rules. You have rules and regulations. The Christian life is just no fun. Well, right here, Christ tells us that his ways are not burdensome. That was so contrary to the Jewish law and traditions of that day and age, where it was a huge burden on the people to try and keep all of those legalistic ritual laws that were going on. But however, we know that Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light, Matthew 11:30. When we have Christ, we have his overcoming spirit and power in us. Therefore, nothing is burdensome that he asks of us, because he gives us the ability to carry them out. So we don't have to have any fear. We don't have to have any trouble, any strife in trying to keep his commandments. They are not to be burdensome on us. And why is that? Because Christ lives within us. And apart from him, we can do absolutely nothing. And so what a great reminder that we have that ability to be an overcomer. We have that ability to have victory over all things because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And as we know, Christ defeated every bit of that on the cross. It is finished once and for all, he said. That same Jesus is the one who resides in you, ladies, if you are a believer. If you are a believer in Christ, then you have the Holy Spirit operating within you to help you achieve all of these things in life that can just weigh us down and bring tribulation upon us and bring trials and strife. All of those things can just burden us, but we know that the love of God resides in us, and we know that he is an overcomer, and because we are regenerate and born again, then we therefore are going to be overcomers as well. And so it's just a reminder, like I said in the beginning, this phrase has just been totally distorted in our modern day culture. It is turned into this very narcissistic, self-absorbed theology where it's all about me and I can do everything in and of my own strength because I can have it all, I can do it all, I can be it all. And that is just not true. That is not how we are supposed to be proceeding as believers in Christ. It is going to be contrary to what the Bible says if we are trying to operate in our own strength. It's not possible for us. That is why it is so important to be reconciled to Christ and repent of your sins and turn from those and have your life rooted in Christ Jesus. So I hope this test gives you an opportunity to go through your own life and see maybe if you've just been trying to do things in your own strength and in your own abilities and might be falling short. And I'm not saying that you're not a believer if that's happening to you. You may just need to be more reliant on the Holy Spirit and be remembering that you have the Holy Spirit's work in you. You have his help. You have his aid. Call upon it. That's what it's there for. That's why he's there. He's there to help us walk through this very challenging life that we lead. And so if we are a believer today, we can rest in that. We can trust in that. We can just cast off the cares of the world because we know he has overcome the world, as he told us, as I mentioned in John 16:33. So examine yourself in light of this test. See if you are an overcomer in the way that is being described in the text and not what is being basically peddled out there in the modern culture. See if you are lining yourself up to Scripture and being that type of overcomer. And you can find this lesson under the Bible Studies tab on naomistable.com, test 13, Are You an Overcomer?
All right, ladies, well, we are going to take a look at the lesson you just heard. And again, this is lesson number 17 already. Being an overcomer, that sounds something like a song, doesn't it, Nancy?
Yeah, it does. You were singing it for me, in fact,
we're not
going to
sing on the radio,
here.
No. But, you know, overcoming the world is something, and I'd like to just read this verse again, and we can talk about it. It says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, I know that Lori just read that. I needed to read that again because every little piece of that has something in there.
Oh, absolutely. And I like how she pointed out, too, about the Word of Faith movement that talks about overcoming and victory and all of these things. It's not that those things are bad, but the way they're talking about them is bad. They're talking about them for your efforts at victory, your efforts and ability to overcome. It's a very self-focused message. And believe me, I've listened to a lot of them. And it's kind of promoting that self-esteem and self, if you will, worship of allowing that power that belongs only to God to really be yours. But the problem is that if you try to do that for a long, extended period of time, you're going to end up probably collapsing in defeat eventually and exhaustion, because you're going to find out that your efforts are not cutting it. It has to be him and his grace flowing through you.
You know, I know a lot of women who have struggled with that, Nancy, that I'm an overcomer because I've got the power of Jesus, so I can do this. You know, and it almost sounds biblical, almost, except who is the focus on? I. And like you said, when you can't keep that pace, that sustainability, you know what can result is depression. And I know a lot of Christian women who struggle with depression because of, and they'll tell you it's because of this.
Yeah, and then they doubt their own salvation many times. And sadly, we do have that power within us, but it's not our power. It's the Holy Spirit at work in us. It's just like the gifts of the Spirit. They're not our gifts. They're his. And it's him, his power working through us. I really like how she pointed out that it's only because we are in Christ, with Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us, that we are able to face anything and to keep his peace in us. That's that peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. Remember that? You know, that's the peace that we have through him, but it's not something that we can generate on our own, and I think that's the big difference.
Well, I know many people have tried to do that, and if you could bottle up Christ's peace and sell it, you'd make a fortune. You can't do that.
No.
It only comes through Christ.
I like how she points out, too, that we are overcomers because he is over all things, and it really shows who we belong to and his victory over sins, having redeemed us from them, set us free from us, broken that bondage off of us, and that therefore, because of that, there's nothing burdensome that he can ask of us that we would not have the ability to do because we have that Holy Spirit in us.
You know, sometimes we feel like we're not overcomers. We feel like, you know, and notice how the feel word is emphasized there. It doesn't matter how we feel. We have to remind ourselves of the truth. Sometimes those things are opposing our flesh and the spirit. So remember what Jesus said, I overcame. And you know what? We can cling to that. We can trust it. It is truth.
You betcha. Well, we're going to finish up the show today with my favorite chapter in the Bible, Romans 8. Okay. We're going to pick it up at verse 31, and this is the true way to overcome here. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Oh, thank you, Nancy, for reading that. I can understand why that might be your favorite. It is a very precious section of Scripture. And ladies, you know, as we close today's program, just a reminder, all of our Bible studies are right there archived, not just 1 John, but Old and New Testament studies in other books as well. And you can find them at naomistable.com. While you're there, why don't you head on over to our homepage where you can find out how to join our Google Plus group. It's a private group, women only, and it's a group for women who are serious about studying God's Word and having that precious, sweet sisterhood fellowship that you can only get with other sisters in Christ. Until tomorrow, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.